Item number 10, a briefing, inshore shrimp license buyback program. Dr. McKinney and Mr. Robin Rikers, please.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, for the record, my name is Robin Rikers. I'm Director of Science and Policy for Coastal Fisheries Division. As indicated, I'm here this morning to present to you a briefing regarding the inshore shrimp license buyback program. I always like to start these briefings with a general idea of the chronology of shrimp management here in Texas so that everyone gets an understanding of really how far we've come in a fairly short period of time. From 1959 until 1985, basically shrimp management, shrimp fishery changed dramatically during that time, but shrimp fisheries management did not change at all. It was housing legislature, basically the same rules were in place during that whole period of time. In 1985, we were granted the authority to have the ability to regulate the shrimp fishery here within the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department and Commission, but the authority was dependent on the passage of a shrimp fishery management plan, which was passed in 1989. Shortly thereafter, the first rulemaking was done by this commission. That was done in 1991. It was followed up with a rulemaking in 94 and then 2000. On the heels of the 94 rulemaking, we went to the Texas legislature, and of course, they passed for us Senate Bill 750, which gave us the inshore shrimp fishery management plan and the buyback program, which was part of that plan as well. The buyback actually got underway in 1996. The next chart's a little bit busy, but we basically hold two rounds of buybacks per year, one in the fall and one in the spring. And if you focus on the gray bars and the gray bars are the number of licenses that were bid each time, and the red bars are the numbers that we actually, as I said, got across the threshold. They actually were accepted by us, and then we actually got them to sign a contract and turn their license over to us. What you can see is in the early years, there was quite a bit of price discovery going on. They're figuring out what we were willing to pay and then adjusting their bids accordingly. We kind of rocked along in a fairly aggressive schedule, but we kind of flattened out on licenses there in about rounds 11 through 14, and then all of a sudden, price of fuel went up here in about round 15, and you can see that effect in that bar chart very clearly, where we had about four rounds with very high numbers of applicants, and we were able to take great advantage of that and basically leverage our funds and purchase more out of the system during that period of time. As you notice, the last round 20, was down quite a bit, and we have round 21, which we have all the applications in for right at this time, and we see the lowest number of applicants that we've ever seen. So that's one of the signals, I think, that we're looking at, kind of giving us some idea of where we stand in the life history of this program, and I'm going to talk about some additional signals here in a moment. Where we stand today is we have had 20 rounds, and we've purchased 904 bait and 886 bait licenses. That's 56% of the licenses that we had when we started the program, and we spent $11.4 million to do that. When you look at the average prices paid, as you can see, for about the last 7 to 8 rounds, we basically have had the same price, or near the same price. It's averaged from about $7,900 to a little over $8,000 on average. Our highest prices paid have been right at $10,000, and as you can see, kind of in that price discovery mechanism as well, that lower part of the range has started to move up through time. The next three slides are going to talk a little bit about what effect we've had with this buyback program. Have we really had the desired effect on both the fishery and on other resources out there? And the first one basically shows you a slide. The red bar is Louisiana, Florida inshore shrimping effort. And the yellow slide is the Texas inshore shrimping effort. And as you can see, when you draw the line of when we start our buyback program, our inshore shrimp fishing effort has gone down. And if you were in those other states, you saw it continuing to rise during that same period of time, at least until you got to this most recent time period where fuel prices have, of course, gone up and everyone's kind of went down a little bit. In addition to those actual impacts on the shrimp fishery itself, we have ancillary impact as well on other species, and of course Atlantic croakers, one of those species that's both a recreational sought after fish here in our state, and it's also a key important prey species. And of course you can see when you draw the impact line in 1995, you can see the upward swing that we've seen associated with Atlantic croaker catch rates. You look at blue crab catch rates, though not as large a component of the bycatch, a very important component of the bycatch as well, an important part of our fishery here in Texas. You can also see an upward swing. Now, obviously, we also had other management interventions on blue crab. We also have a limited entry program in 97, which capped the number of licenses on the blue crab fishery, which also helps, and is probably evidenced in this bar as well, and our abandoned crab trap cleanup program, which we believe also has had a significant impact on this resource. But all those things combined certainly look to a better picture on blue crab than we had before that period of time. Where we started it then this year is basically we have, and this is the portion where I'm going to kind of talk about signals of where we are in the life history of this program. When we started this fiscal year, we had 585 bay and 568 bait licenses. Because many boats hold both licenses, we equate that to about 630 vessels in the fishery right now, in the inshore fishery right now.
How many? Oh, 636.
Yes.
Okay.
When we talk about signals, I think it's important I show you this slide. This is probably a projection slide I showed you about a year or a year and a half ago. And when you look at where we should be, we're actually ahead of schedule. We're getting closer to where we projected at that time in 2006, probably the earlier part of 2006, that we're actually almost where we projected we would be in 2010. So we're a couple years ahead of schedule. And of course, that's largely due in part to some great partners that we have, Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation, Navy Conservation Fund, which has allowed us to buy more licenses than we thought we could, Coastal Conservation Association, Earl C. Sands Foundation, of course, individual donors who've helped us along the way as well. We've been able to really take advantage of those periods when we had more license, basically license bid than we normally would, and we were able to aggressively leverage their dollars with our dollars and get ahead of schedule here. Another signal that we look to is our opening day boat counts. And as you can see by that graph, these are the opening day boat counts for the fall of this year. We also do spring boat counts. It looks very similar to this graph. And right now, on opening day, we had just slightly less than 200 vessels out there on opening day. The other thing we look at is what's actually happening in the shrimp industry. We always predicted that if you took those vessels out, that the catch per unit effort or the catch per individual vessel per hour spent out there would start increasing again. And of course, that picture depicts that increase. So it has had the desired effects on the industry as far as stabilizing the industry and allowing it to become a more profitable and sustainable industry on that inshore area as well. And that picture helps depict that. That basically concludes my presentation, but I think the signals portion of this presentation is an indicator to us here on staff and what we're trying to share with you is that from the life cycle perspective of this program, we certainly are nearing the end of it. We've accomplished a lot of the goals we set out to accomplish, and we're, of course, have this round ongoing. We'll have another round in the spring, and as we move through this biennium, we anticipate that with your blessing, we will look to probably remove our aggressive schedule from this buyback and maybe look at some of the other programs that we have ongoing.
Please. Are we down to a volume of shrimpers where you could look at conversion to an ITQ program?
Well, yes, we are. We certainly believe we are. In fact, we've been an ITQ program is an individual transferable quota program. Basically, a predicted amount of landings or a set amount of landings would be distributed each year to individuals, and they would get that based on some sort of historical share of the amount of poundage they had in the past. And then basically what that does is the incentive then becomes for us to remove some of the restrictions we now have and them to be able to just go get the shrimp when they want to go get it, how they want to go get it, and us get out of some of that regulatory business that we do. And of course we have two licenses, and it might also be a perfect time to start thinking about one license in that situation.
Do you have any idea whether the total harvest now is at a sustainable level?
Certainly, we believe it's
a good magic calculation for an IDQ quantity.
It has decreased in the last few years from an average of around 10 million pounds to 6 million pounds, and certainly we've seen the increases in the offshore, which is one of the things we were trying to balance when we put these programs in place. So we think it's much more sustainable now at this current level than we would have been at before.
Rob and Nike, you've done a tremendous job, you and Dr. McKinney. I think also shows the private-public partnership. And when you get groups working together, you get interested parties, advocacy groups, working with TPW and the TPW Foundation, that you can really create some success out there. This is one of them. This is terrific. Thank you.
Thanks, y'all.